Well, it's that time of year where we ask the big questions, the life-affirming questions. You ready? How's your garden holding up? That's right. Back in studio tonight, our download garden guru, Jacob Burns from the Chicago Botanic Garden. Talk about water, annuals, perennials, pruning, and my godforsaken hydrangeas. Jacob is a curator of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Gardens. He's here to solve all of our problems. 312-981-7200. If you got a question for Jacob, you can call, you can text. We have the hour to talk about gardening. Jacob, great to see you. Thanks for coming back in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. So this is what, where are we at in the system? Because, you know, we had kind of planned about doing something in the spring, which would have made a lot of sense. But, I mean, there still are a lot of issues when it comes to gardens, flowers, vegetables, everything that's going on in people's backyards, front yards, foyers, and in my case, little strip of land that I call in front of the front door.
Yeah, I mean, spring's a busy time for everyone in the garden, but then summer is more of a time where you're coddling everything that you've, you know, planted and making sure it doesn't dry out.
Yep.
And make sure it's fertilized and make sure you're, you know, you're finishing up some of the pruning that you need to be doing. So yeah, there's always stuff to be doing this summer.
Well, it seems like this is the time of year, especially when you hit the hot weather, that you recognize whether or not your grandiose plan, a plan in which you set out maybe in April, where you're saying May, where you're like, this is what it's going to look like, that you start to recognize whether or not it's going to look that way. Or in case of gardens and vegetables, whether or not things are actually growing like the package said it's supposed to. I mean, is that accurate to say that this is the time where you can start to sort of see your grand plan kind of come to fruition?
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends. All plants are different. So some are, you know, they might not do anything in the spring. They bloom only in the summer, or they only bloom in the fall. So that's the thing about a garden, is it's always constantly changing if you have enough stuff in it. But certain plants, yeah, you, after a while, you might be like, is it going to do anything?
Yeah.
Like your hydrangeas, for instance.
And you had to bring up a sore spot. Okay, so let's start right there, since this is the download with Justin Kaufman, Justin Kaufman's Gardening Problems. That's the name of the segment. All right, so I've complained a lot on the show about rabbits. I have to say, thanks to your advice and others, the, you know, what we talked about the last time we were on, you said when you plant in the spring, it's important to take care of the precautionary methods at that point, right? That's the idea, that like, do it right away. Don't let them get a taste of it and then try to do it. Because last year, like in August, I tried to catch up and they were just jumping over the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, they've already developed a hunger for it.
They don't care what you spray on it. Yeah. Well, I'm happy to say, and a lot of people ask me today about my rabbit problem, and it's non-existent. I did all the work. We put echinacea in. We put marigolds in. We sprayed it with the deer repellent. We put up fencing in certain areas. And I think the rabbits got the memo.
Congratulations.
So we've had no rabbit problems, but here's the problem I do have.
Uh-huh.
I have three hydrangea plants that we bought last year when we started our sort of journey into gardening. All three of the plants bloomed last year. They went through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, all three of the plants are just green plants. There are no bulbs. There are no pretty pink balls. There are no anything. It's just blue. And we're trying to figure out where the bulbs are because nothing came up. I've had people tell me the theory, well, you know, hydrangeas are every other year in some cases. I've heard, oh, maybe you pruned them too much, like that kind of thing. And I'm getting I'm getting mixed messages on what's happening with these very expensive hydrangeas. Jake.
So the hydrangea, like you already said, it was pink or blue.
It was pink.
Yeah. So a majority of those that you buy at the store, I can't say for sure which cultivar you had, but most of those are of the species Macrophylla, Hydrangea Macrophylla. Those are the pink and blue ones. And when you... In Chicago, they're not reliably hardy here. So what you'll do is you'll, you know, plant it when it's beautiful in flower. When you buy it, it looks so great
because
it's been growing in a greenhouse
and
kept warm all winter. But then you plant it here in Chicago, and then what happens is the stems that are supposed to have the flower buds for next year,
they
freeze off. And when those freeze off, you don't get flowers the next year because they bloom on old wood. And the old wood freezes. But there are, but it's not going to help your hydrangeas, but there are some other cultivars now that do bloom on the new wood. meaning that if that old wood freezes, it's going to push out new growth anyway and still get flowers.
What, I mean, in the case I have right now, I have three green plants, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, they're going to look like really lush green plants.
But they're going to stay that way. So this kind of, the idea that they already froze off, even if next winter is 70 degrees all the way through, the hydrangeas are just going to be green plants for the rest of their time?
No, I mean, if we have a super mild winter, some of those maybe they'll flower buds might make it. You could coddle the heck out of it if you wanted to and like wrap some burlap around it and try to keep it nice and warm all winter.
Come on, man. Ah! So essentially what you're telling me is that I have two options. One, to enjoy lush green plants. Mm-hmm. Or what do? Dig them up?
I think you should replace them with a cultivar that actually survived.
Can I roll up to the high-end flower store with just the green, like, pulled out of the dirt and be like, drop it on the counter and be like, what's this? You think they'll be
sympathetic to my... Maybe if there's a warranty on that plant you had, yeah, you could take it back and be...
And all joking aside, I mean, do florists, are they up front with customers that way? That when, especially in the Chicago area, in the Midwest, where... You know, you get this thing, it says it's a perennial, it's a plant that'll continue to grow every spring. I mean, are they upfront about that?
Not if you bought it at like a box store, right. Like hardware type place. Right. no names mentioned. Right. But if you go to like a local nursery where there's more expert staff, they'll usually not even bother to carry that particular plant because they know that they're going to get complaints later. There is a couple cultivars that if you really want a blue or a pink hydrangea that you could buy. There's one called Bloomstruck. Okay. There's a couple other ones that aren't coming to my mind. But Bloomstruck is one that is known to flower on new and old wood. So if that older wood freezes, it'll still push out some flower buds the next year. Also, you could get, if the color white is okay for you, you could get an Annabelle hydrangea, which is actually a cultivar of a native hydrangea, and it has giant, big white, ball flowers on it. And that one's reliably hardy and blooms. Whether you could cut it to the ground in the middle of winter, and it'll still come up the next year and put out a ton of flowers. So,
well, it sounds like this is the end of the segment. I think that's the end of the show tonight. We're just going dead air. We'll just play some of the Smashing Pumpkins for the rest of the hour and a half. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you got questions for Jacob Burns, he's the director of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Garden. He's got the answers for you. We've got some questions about knockout rose trees. We also have... question about hydrangeas. We also have perennials in window boxes. People on the line as well. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Jacob in studio. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Jacob Burns in studio tonight. We're talking gardens. He, of course, is a curator of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Garden. He's here to solve all of our problems. He's already solved my hydrangea problem. I'm not sure it was the right answer, but that's okay. That I wanted to hear. All right, let's start. Got a lot of texts in tonight about gardening. 847, Ed and Juliet says, what are the best perennials for window boxes in our area, in Joliet? So I guess he means the Midwest area. What do you think, Jacob?
One thing about perennials in containers and window boxes is a lot of perennials only bloom for a few weeks. So if you are going to put it in a window box or container, you might only get a short period of flowers out of it, depending on which perennial it is. But there are a few that do bloom for a long time, and some of them just have beautiful foliage. Mm-hmm. Some of them just have great structure. So I think, and this is for a window box, you mm-hmm. said. So it depends on if it's in the sun or the shade. But if it was like a sunny window box, you could always put there's a geranium, not like your peel. So there's a difference between pelargoniums and geraniums. The typical houseplant looking ones that have the bright red or pink flowers. Those are, they call those geraniums, but they're actually Pelargoniums, and they're not perennials. There are perennial geraniums, which are hardy geraniums.
Those work?
Yeah, these types of geraniums, there's one called Roseanne, and it's got these beautiful purple flowers with kind of a white center, mm-hmm. and it blooms for months. It's already blooming now and will continue to go till fall. And it kind of spills and trails, too, so that could be good in a window box. Okay. And if you have a shady situation, you could do Lamium, which is also called dead nettle, which is a scary name, but it's got beautiful, like, silvery foliage.
I'm down with that. I like that. Yeah. Dead nettle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a hardcore plant name. Right?
Yeah, so any perennial work in a container, I would just pick one that is ultimately going to have some interesting foliage
okay.
after it's done blooming.
So. 708 says, I planted lilies last year and they never came back. If there anything I can do, they were pink blooms on the no, this was, that's a different one. And they said that it's day lilies.
Oh, they are day lilies. Okay.
Yeah, day lilies, and they never came back.
That's interesting. So with day lilies, they're pretty indestructible. So I'm wondering if something ate it. Deer love day lilies. Rabbits love day lilies.
rabbits.
Another thing is if it was planted in a location that was too wet.
Oh, they don't, lilies don't do well with.
Day lilies don't like a lot of wetness, especially like in the winter time. If the soils don't drain well in the winter, then they can go through these fluctuations of freezing and rotting, and yeah, it's not good.
Well, I mean, that asks the question just about watering in general. I mean, yeah, obviously it's summertime, it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about it, and I'm sort of I got a routine going where it seems like I jump out every morning, you know, and water everything mm-hmm. in my front. Is that the right way to do things? I mean, should I be watering more, less? When it comes to watering in the summer of your garden and your plants and flowers, what's the course of action?
So when it comes to watering, I don't recommend that people rely on a schedule, because I think ultimately you want to water the plants when they need it. Then the best way to tell if they really need it is to do either stick your finger in the soil or take a little trowel and dig down in the soil a couple inches. And if you can tell that the soil is not dry and, you know, sandy and falling apart, then you can tell there's still moisture in the soil. Then you know that you don't need to water right away. But if it's dry in those first couple inches, then mm-hmm. that's when you definitely need to put some water down. The problem with just watering on a constant routine, like saying I'm going to water every Monday.
Right.
The problem is that, you know, we could get rain and then you're overwatering the plant, or you could, you know, not water enough. And so if you only give it like a sprinkling of water, those roots are going to learn to just sit at the top of the soil and they're not going to go deep to get any other additional water. So those roots just sit at the top of the soil and then they dry out quicker. So when you water, you want to water them deeply, and you want to make sure that the entire root system of every plant is deeply watered. And then that way the roots will go down, and then that way the roots has more of a root system. So that way when the top few inches of soil dry out, the plant's not going to be wilting.
Man, I am doing it all sorts of wrong. I feel like, and there's a couple of questions coming in about rabbits as well. We'll get to those. 312-981-7200. I'm new at this. I feel like I'm somewhat enlightened by having the opportunity to talk to not only you but the listeners about gardening. But man, this stuff is hard. Like, I think I have a space that's about the size of the board in front of me, the engineering board, which is a very small space. But maybe I just need to hire a gardener. You just have them come out and do it, you know? That'd be like the laziest, yuppiest thing to ever do, right? I had a gardener come out for my one little window box.
People do smart. It.
All right, Jacob Burns in studio tonight. He is the curator of perennials at the at the Chicago Botanic Garden. We're taking your calls and texts on gardening questions for the summer. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. It's a download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, Jacob Burns. He's the curator of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Gardens. We're talking flowers, gardens, vegetables, grass. We could talk grass, I guess. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Kathy on the line. Kathy, thanks for calling in. How's your garden?
Oh, hi, Justin. It's actually lacking a flower, and I was wondering if Jacob would have any insight on the bearded iris that I planted. I had transplanted them from, this would be the third home I had. Had them up in my house in Wisconsin. When I moved from there, I dug up a few bulbs and put them in a townhome I was in for a few years, and they bloomed beautifully. And when I sold that, I dug up a couple more bulbs and planted them in my last residence where I'm living now. They did bloom. They bloomed for a couple of years, and for the past 2 years has been nothing.
Like, it's fine. I feel your pain, Kathy. I feel the same as my hydrangeas. But all right, Jacob, what do you think of that?
Well, irises are notorious for needing division. They kind of peter out after a couple years. It sounds like you've moved around a lot, and so you may have split them up several times. But if they have been in this current home for a while, they might be, it might be time to divide them again. Also, light could be a factor. Are they getting full sun? Because they do love full sun.
You got full sun on them?
They never came out of the ground.
Oh, there just was no leaves or anything. Interesting.
Nothing came out, yeah.
But they looked fine going into winter?
Actually, it's been about 2 years. The first couple years, they bloomed. And then nothing came up out of the ground for the last 2 years.
Oh, then yeah, they're nothing. Probably long gone then, unfortunately.
I got a couple of duds.
What could have happened is either moving them stressed them out, maybe they didn't get enough water, or there is an insect. It lays its larva in the root of an iris called an iris borer. That could have attacked the plant too. I guess at the time you probably would have noticed the foliage declining and looking really sad. But if you do ever see that, dig it up and pull the root apart, and you'll see a gross one in there.
Oh,
Kathy, I feel for you.
Well, there are day lilies blooming next to them, and they come up every year, so the bugs wouldn't get at those. Huh? Yeah.
No, those are pretty pretty resilient. Deer and rabbits like them, though.
Right. All right, thanks, Kathy. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Oh man, we should have a moment of silence for those bearded irises, right? All right, good. Moving on. 312-981-7200. All right, let's keep going. I got some texts here as well. I have two lilac plants due to not bloom anymore in the spring, 815 says. Lilac plants, huh? What do you know about those?
Yeah, well, those are a shrub. They bloom in the spring. They smell great. Everyone loves those. I guess the thing that we should consider, if they're not blooming, is one, light. They like full sun. So if they're in too much shade, they're probably not going to produce flowers as much. Also, lilacs can get as they age each trunk, because they're usually a clump of different multiple stems. Those stems can get older and wear out, wear themselves out. And so what you have to do is rejuvenate them. And so those thicker, older stems that aren't really producing a lot of flowers anymore, what you do is in like February or March, cut it down to like 4 to 6 inches, prune out all those bigger, thicker ones. You'll probably have some smaller ones in there, and those are the ones you want to save because those are younger shoots.
Wow.
And those are the ones that will fill back in and produce nice flowers.
Wow. I had no idea. Lilacs sound hard. All right. 312-981-7200. Let's move on to Knockout Rose Trees. 847 says, my knockout rose tree was pink bloom last year. This year, no blooms. I used Osmotico. How do you say that?
Osmocote.
Osmocote 2 months ago. And then in all caps, what is up? Randall.
So Osmocote, if anyone's not familiar, is a slow release fertilizer that comes in these little like plasticky pellety ball things that you can just sprinkle them on top of the soil, and they just slowly release the fertilizer, and it lasts like 4 to 6 months, and you don't risk burning the plants by adding too much fertilizer. It's just the perfect amount. But the problem is roses are heavy feeders. They love lots of fertilizer. And so the Osmocote might actually be too slow of a release of a fertilizer.
They want more.
So, yeah. So what he could do is continue to have the Osmocote, but then maybe like I don't know if this is in a container or in the ground either. So it varies. But what he could also do is mix up some of the liquid fertilizer. It's like liquid soluble fertilizer, and you mix it with water that you can actually pour over the plant, and it will absorb it through the leaves and through the roots once it hits the ground, and it's quick.
Right.
And you have to apply it like every couple weeks. So he could do that to give it some instant nutrients. Like
pouring the fudge over the ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, there you go. 815 says, just got in the car, heard you talking about rabbit problems in the garden. Yes, but didn't catch it all. We have two labs. What can we do to put on our veggie plants? What can we put on our veggie plants that'll keep the rabbits out but won't harm the dogs scent-wise? Thanks for any help that you can provide. Scent-wise. So, I mean, the dogs don't like... I would assume it'd be just chemicals. Like, what do we want to put on there so they don't eat bad stuff, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Are the dogs allergic to certain smells? I'm not sure, but I know that, like, the whole point of organic repellents is the smell. That's what keeps the rabbits away, and the taste. So I don't know what
doesn't hurt really the dogs.
The organic repellents won't hurt the dog because they're not chemicals, but they're definitely going to smell bad.
Yeah.
So if they're worried about smell, then yeah, they're going to smell. But what they could put on the around the vegetables is blood meal, and that's something that rabbits don't like. And it's
blood meal.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like dry.
That's what you get. Is that the dry, like the powder kind of thing?
Blood is what it is. I know it's gross. But that's what you put around the plant, and the rabbits hate it.
Is that the stuff you gave me last year? That was like,
it is.
I put something on the in August or whatever, and the next day there's just flies everywhere. Like there's just like I don't know if the rabbits weren't gone. The rabbits may have been gone for a day, but the flies had returned, and I was like, all right. This is what it's going to be for the rest of my time in gardening, like fending something off and inviting something new. Before I let you go, the pruning. Let's talk about pruning, because this is another issue where this is the part that I just don't understand as a rookie gardener, as someone who puts the stuff in, and I did great work with soil and the mulch and all that kind of stuff, looking good, everything looks good. But I have to actually prune some of these perennials to make them grow the next year too? I mean, I have to do extra work. How's that work?
Well, this is so the process of getting certain plants to rebloom is called deadheading. And that's basically when the flower is past its prime.
Mm-hmm.
What flowers usually do is they go into seed forming mode. So they're going to try to produce seeds. So what you want to do is cut that flower part off before it has a chance to produce seed, because it's going to put all its energy into that seed and not making more flowers. So if you cut off the spent flowers before it goes in the seed, the plant will push more energy into putting out more flowers. And even if the plants don't rebloom, they'll at least put more energy into its foliage and its root system. So you'll have a healthier plant if you don't let it go to seed.
And in terms of pruning, I mean, it's time to essentially finish the pruning for the spring trees and shrubs, right? Like, this is the time to do that?
Yeah, so, like, going back to, like, the lilac, any shrub that blooms in the spring, lilacs, viburnums, forsythias, things that most people have in their gardens, if you need to do any sort of pruning on those, you want to do those, definitely want to get that done, like, this weekend. You want to have it done by like the 1st of July. Because what happens is those plants, when you prune them, the kind of like with the hydrangea scenario, like those plants, you prune them and then they push out a little more growth. And that growth is what has to produce the flower buds for next year. But if you wait too long, those, that pushes out that growth, and then you wait too long to cut it, you're cutting off all the potential flower buds for next year. So what you want to do is do it now.
Could I have made that mistake with my hydrangea?
Did you prune it?
Did, yeah. My wife did. But pruned it probably late. Like, I would think that we pruned...
Oh, then maybe it wasn't even winter. Maybe it was just you that just... ruin the flowers on your hydrangea.
Well, to be fair, I mean, my wife, let's not, you know, come on now.
Yeah.
You don't think that I didn't throw shade already? Like, it's the one area that I could throw shade where she said, I think I pruned these at the wrong time. And I gave a little look like, hey, I know what's going on. Why are you messing with my garden?
Yeah, so, those hydrangeas in
they
particular.
Need to, so any hydrangea, anything, July 1st is really where you want to be when you're pruning because you want to give it enough time to do whatever it has to do.
Yeah, anything that's blooms in the spring or early summer, you want to like prune those as soon as possible because they have to have time to develop those flower buds on the new growth that does still come out.
Right.
But if you prune them late, you're going to cut off all that potential flower buds for next year. But other shrub, like hedges or shade trees, like non-blooming hedges, like boxwoods, privets, you can prune those all the way up to like August 1st.
Okay.
But you don't want to prune after August 1st because there's another situation where if you prune them after August 1st, that growth that they flush out after won't have time to harden off before winter sets in, and then you end up with dieback in winter.
Hmm. What do I do with chia pets? That's different, completely different. That's the one that's growing. We'll just let that one go. Jacob Burns joins us regularly here on The Download. He is the curator of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Garden. So what I learned today is probably watering wrong. Did a good job, though, with the rabbits, although, you know, there's still a long way to go here. Rabbits are – my theory is that there's a lot right now, like in all the yards and everything, so they're good. And then you get to the later times, like August – and that's where they're like, we're running out of food. What do we got over here? That's what I'm worried
about.
And
they can like produce multiple, like, what are they? Are they called litters? I don't even know what they're called, but they produce multiple crops.
So there'll be more.
Crops of rabbits every year. So.
Yeah. So I'm still, do you think that I should probably do all of the stuff again? Like, should I like try to spray everything and do everything coming up here before?
If you know they're in your area, like if you're walking down the street and you see them, yeah, then I would just continue to keep putting stuff on those plants. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Also, I learned that I'm probably pruning wrong. I'm probably gardening wrong. I'm probably doing everything wrong. That's what I learned today. Jacob, great to see you. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Thanks a lot.